Right, so imagine this, right? You're at a concert, having a nice moment, maybe a kiss. It gets filmed, then it goes viral. Okay, fine. But then someone turns it into a video game. That's the kind of wild, unpredictable stuff we're getting into today. Welcome to the deep dive. We've got, well, a stack of sources here from a recent gaming publication, and we're gonna basically pull out the really important bits for you. Our goal, cut through all the noise. Find those aha moments and show you how gaming is, doing more than just entertaining. It's hitting culture, shaping industries.
Absolutely. And we've got quite the mix today. Everything from like tiny indie games popping up overnight to these huge corporate moves shaking things up. We'll look at how these big global trends actually feel on the ground for gamers everywhere. It's fascinating how small stories sometimes tell you more about the big picture.
Right. So let's start with that viral game. The concert kiss one, it was Coldplay, I think. Huge show. A couple has this, sweet moment, gets filmed, goes viral. Then this American singer-songwriter, Jonathan Mann, he does that song a day thing. He sees it. But instead of just a song, he codes a game, like a mini game, where you basically relive the kiss, but you have to like dodge people looking and ride the viral wave, as they put it.
Yeah, and what's interesting about Mann is he's always done this quick turnaround topical stuff with his songs. Now he's doing it with games. He didn't just react, he made it interactive, which is kind of a different level. And yeah, it's a simple, silly game, sure, but it taps right into that TikTok Insta trend of viral, almost disposable games. It shows how fast you can turn a moment into, well, playable content now.
And the reactions are interesting too, especially when you look cross-culturally. We're seeing comments on X and Instagram, particularly from some regions joking about it, saying things like, if a kiss like that happened here, yeah, it'd be news, maybe controversial news, but definitely not a game. Like the hug at Mawazine or selfie on the Casa Tram jokes you sometimes see.
And that connects to bigger things, doesn't it? It's kind of a playful look at our own debates, privacy, social media, how global pop culture gets filtered through local lenses right down to the cafe chat. It really shows how differently gamifying a social trend can land, depending on where you are and what the local norms feel like.
So the takeaway for you, it's really about how the internet just keeps blurring lines. Entertainment, news, personal stuff, it all mixes. And for creators, that mixes, well, fertile ground, especially for games. Anything can be a game now, it seems like. Needs the right moment, a bit of creativity. Okay, let's shift gears from viral flashes to the established giants. Some big anniversaries and reveals happening. First up, Ghost of Tsushima. Can you believe it's been 5 years? Huge game. And Sucker Punch, the developers, they're giving out a free in-game item to celebrate.
5 years, wow. Time flies.
Right. And for anyone who maybe hasn't played it, it's Jin Sakai, samurai defending Tsushima Island from the Mongol invasion back in 1274. Just stunning visually. The combat is so smooth. Great story. Really set a high bar for open world games, I think.
Oh, definitely. And it became this cultural thing, didn't it? People actually started visiting the real Tsushima Island because of the game. Won tons of awards and features like Kurosawa mode, mimicking old samurai films. So cool. Plus that photo mode. People still share amazing shots. That kind of lasting impact is huge. And yeah, with the anniversary buzz, everyone's wondering about a sequel. The rumors are definitely heating up.
Okay, sticking with big franchises, Battlefield 6, EA's set the date, July 31st, 2025, for the official reveal. People are hyped. And look at these studios involved. It's like a super group. You've got Dicey, obviously. They have Star Wars Squadrons, right?
Squatter's good game.
Then Ripple Effect, which used to be Dicey LA, and Criterion. The Burnout and Need for Speed guys, all under one banner, Battlefield Studios.
Yeah, that's a serious lineup. And the Battlefield hype, especially in certain fan communities, it's intense. It's almost like a local derby, you know? It divides people, gets them really passionate. Lots of Moroccan fans, for instance, are hoping this one really delivers. They talk about needing better servers, more customization options, and maybe even maps inspired by the region. Like imagine a Marrakech market map or something set in an ancient North African city. That'd be amazing. Shows that players want that local connection in global games.
That is interesting. It poses that big question, doesn't it? Can these massive global games really satisfy those very specific local desires? And ultimately, will Battlefield 6 be the comeback the franchise needs? Will it grab that next generation? Guess we wait till next July to find out. All right, let's move on to how communities react when developers make big calls. Cyberpunk 2077. Big news here. CD Projekt already confirmed it. No third-person mode ever.
Yeah, that landed with a bit of a thud for some people.
Well, yeah. A lot of players were really holding out hope for that, weren't they? Like a GTA-style view. They wanted to see Night City differently, and let's be honest, check out their custom V character walking around. So what's the official reason?
CD Projekt RD says it's just extremely complex, basically a huge technical challenge that would mean rethinking a lot of the game's core systems. They'd rather put their resources into other improvements and, you know, future projects like the sequel. It really highlights that tension, right? Developer vision versus what a chunk of the community wants. Some players are definitely disappointed. You see comments like, "Oh man, I want to see my V strolling through Japantown," or comparing it to wanting, I don't know, a creamy latte instead of black coffee, just a different feel. But others are more pragmatic, saying, okay, fine, as long as they keep fixing things and adding content, it does make you think about development priorities.
Okay, speaking of choices that raise eyebrows, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, they just announced a crossover with, wait for it, I Know What You Did Last Summer.
It's a slasher movie. From the 90s.
Yep, the 1997 classic. We've seen COD do crossovers like King Kong and Godzilla, which were kind of fun and bombastic, but this one sounds like they're aiming for genuinely creepy. Think new skins, maybe special missions, jump scares.
Huh. Okay, that is unexpected.
Uh-huh.
The COD community is huge, and yeah, a lot of them probably grew up watching those 90s horror flicks and playing Black Ops.
Uh-huh.
So the reaction is probably mixed. I can imagine some being like, yes, finally a scary crossover.
Uh-huh.
But you'll also get the skeptics, right? Great, another skin pack they want us to buy.
Exactly. Like mixing, I don't know, Herrera with pizza, someone joked online. Unexpected, maybe weird, but maybe exciting.
Ah, that's a good one. It definitely shows how games keep pulling from everywhere else in pop culture, trying new angles to keep things fresh, even if it seems a bit random sometimes.
All right, let's look at some new content drops and what's shifting in the industry overall. Pokemon Go players, listen up. Gigantamax Butterfree, it's coming. August 3rd, Max Battle Day.
Gigantamax Butterfree. Okay, so a giant special form of the original.
Exactly. A unique, larger-than-life form of the classic bug-flying type. So during the event, more raids featuring it, exclusive rewards, better catch rates. You'll need to hit those raids, stock up on passes, get a good Team Rock, Electric, Fire. Ice types are good against Butterfree and probably coordinate with friends.
Right. And adding these special forms, like Gigantamax, it's core to how Pokemon Go keeps things engaging, isn't it? It shakes up the raid meta, makes you rethink your strategy, and it drives that community play, pushing people to team up. It's that constant drip of new limited time content that keeps live service games like this going, keeps players coming back. And yeah, you can already see the buzz online, strategy guides popping up, people planning raid groups. It clearly works to get the community active.
Okay, let's do a quick roundup of some other industry news. Just hitting the headlines first. Super Mario Party Jamboree coming July 24th, 2025, and it's listed as a Nintendo Switch 2 edition, supposedly using new features like microphone and camera integration, plus something called Jamboree TV.
Interesting. Using a party game to showcase new hardware features makes sense. Gets people using the tech in a fun, social way, could set a standard for other Switch 2 games.
Next up, Call of Duty Black Ops 7. It was announced at the Xbox Showcase, but the reaction seemed a bit muted. Apparently, it lacked the excitement fans hoped for. More details are promised before Gamescom, though.
Yeah, that happens. Sometimes the initial reveal doesn't quite land. Huge pressure on franchises like COD to really wow people right out of the gate with each new entry. They need to show real innovation.
Then there's Star Wars Hunters. This was Zynga's big push into console and PC gaming. Remember that?
Vaguely, yeah. Mobile giant trying to crack the core market.
Well, it seems it failed to gain traction. Servers are shutting down soon, though the CEO, Frank Gibeau, sounds optimistic about learning from it.
That's tough. It really shows how hard it is to cross over from mobile success to the console PC space. Different audiences, different expectations, different monetization models. A big brand isn't always enough.
And finally, some good news if your wallet's feeling light. PlayStation Store Summer Sale is on. Discounts up to 95% on PS4 and PS5 games.
95%? Wow. Yeah, these big sales are crucial. They clear inventory, obviously. But more importantly, they get players buying more games, trying new things, which keeps the whole ecosystem healthy. Good for everyone.
Okay, but now for something pretty significant and potentially controversial. Microsoft. Early July, they had layoffs. Around 200 people impacted the Candy Crush folks and some Xbox teams, too.
Right. Layoffs happen, unfortunately. But this one had a twist, didn't it?
It did. An internal memo apparently confirmed that the roles being cut will have their terminated positions replaced by artificial intelligence.
Wow. Okay. That's direct. So it's not just layoffs. It's explicitly swapping human roles for AI. That's a massive statement about where Microsoft sees things going.
Yeah.
Part of their bigger push to integrate AI everywhere, right? Streamline work, cut costs. But it throws up huge questions for the gaming industry, the whole AI impact.
Yeah, like what does this mean for creativity, for jobs?
Exactly. On one side, AI could automate boring tasks, maybe speed up development, free up humans for the really creative stuff, potentially boost innovation. But the flip side, are we automating creativity itself? Could we see less originality? Mm-hmm. What happens to all that human talent? You're already seeing Moroccan influencers, tech commentators, gamers discussing it at Moroccan Tech, at Casablanca Gaming. Mixed feelings. Some worry about jobs. Others wonder if local devs might start using AI tools more. It's the core debate. Efficiency versus originality. Automation versus human touch. It's going to be a huge topic going forward.
So wrapping up this deep dive, wow, we've covered a lot. From like a spur-of-the-moment game based on a kiss, like... Huge anniversaries like Ghost of Tsushima, big reveals like Battlefield, community reactions to things like third-person modes, and then ending on this really fundamental shift with AI potentially replacing jobs in game development. It's a lot happening.
It really is. A snapshot of an industry that's just constantly churning, constantly changing, full of amazing creativity, but also facing some really complex challenges. Opportunity and disruption all mixed together.
And hopefully connecting these dots gives you a clearer picture of how dynamic it all is.
Absolutely. And maybe something for you to think about, tying back to that Microsoft AI news. If AI starts taking over more development roles, what does creativity even mean in gaming's future? Could the next massive hit game actually be designed, maybe even partly written, by an algorithm? Or is there something about that human passion, that spark from developers, that technology can just never replace, no matter how advanced it gets? What really stands out to you about how these changes might shape the games you end up playing down the line? Something to chew on.